Glad to see you here this morning. Glad to be with you. Glad to have some of our wayward travelers back. Yeah, some over here too. By the way, Nikki, there will be a bill on your desk in the morning as to what we did for you. Yeah. You never realize what a person does until you have to do what they do. Okay? So, Nikki, we appreciate everything that you do. Even though sometimes Manny doesn't act like it, but yeah, we definitely appreciate everything that you are doing to help us. And you look like you got a little tan while you were out there on the beach. That's good. And nobody got eaten by a shark. That's good. That's good. She was worried about that before she left, about the sharks. And I said, "Oh, don't worry. Just realize." Oh, he was worried. I said, "Oh, don't worry about that. Just realize that you are not at the top of the food chain when you are in the ocean." Yeah, you are not. You are not. There are plenty of things out there that will eat you. I want to talk this morning about something that's kind of interesting, and it's one of my favorite passages, and it is one in which we are all extremely familiar with. So I'm not going to teach you anything about that passage per se. But what I'm going to have you do today is I'm going to have you look at that passage in a different light. And I do that quite often. I kind of like that. I kind of like you thinking about things in a little different manner. And if you think about it in a little different manner, what that does is that opens up some perspective for you. That helps you to understand a few things about God, about Jesus Christ, about the things of this earth. And so as we go through this passage and we look at it, realize that a lot of this is going to be very familiar at first. But then later, you're going to see exactly where I'm coming from. Okay? So let's start out. Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22, and we'll go through verse 33. Now notice what's happening. Jesus has been teaching. And the crowds are continuing to grow. The numbers are continuing to grow. Jesus is continuing to teach great numbers of people. And he tells his disciples at this time, his apostles, he tells them, he says, "Go on across the sea." Go on. And I'll catch up with you later. Well, after he sends the crowd on their way, he goes up and prays. So it says, late that night, about the third hour, which is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., sometime in that range, then what we see is Jesus is ready to come out and meet with his apostles. And so we start there in verse 24 is where I want to look. And it says, the boat was already a long distance away, battered by the waves. Now that's an important statement. That's why it is underlined in blue and highlighted in blue. The boat was battered by the waves because the wind, it says, was contrary. Now, if you've ever been in a boat battered by waves, you realize that the wind sometimes gets very contrary. And I've been in boats that were battered by waves. There was one time I was out fishing a bass tournament. And I was by myself, and this was an early in the year bass tournament. This was in March. And the wind was kind of blowing and everything, and the air temperature was 45 degrees, so it was a cold day in March. And I was out there fishing, and I hung my lure on a stump. You fishermen ever done that? Uh-huh. Oh, no. Yeah, every one of you have ever done it. Okay, if you've ever fished, you've hung up. And so I was trying to get my lure off this stump. And as I was trying to get my lure off the stump, the wind was blowing my boat. And so my boat was moving like this. And so as I was trying to get my lure off the stump, I kept moving down the edge of the boat like this. until I got to the console. And when I got to the console, I had to step out off the carpet onto the fiberglass. It's a cold morning. The fiberglass was wet. And about the time I got right next to the window of the console, my feet began to slip out from under me. And I said to myself, I am not going to fall in this lake. And then I said, oh, yes, I am. And I went down in the water. Now, I was in 10 feet of water at the time, so I went down in the water, underneath the water completely. And then I came up out of the water. Now, the water was actually warmer than the air. The water was 65 degrees. So as I was in the water, it wasn't too bad. But then I had to get out of the water. And I got out of the water, and it was incredibly cold. And I noticed that there were several boats around me. They were also fishing in the tournament. None of those boats offered to come over and help. And I also noticed that all of the people in the boats were laughing. Now, that was a pretty typical thing. Now, fortunately, I had a complete change of clothes in the boat with me. Now, that was fortunate, because I would have frozen to death out there. But I pulled up into a cove, and I completely changed my clothes and everything, and I just kept fishing. And so I continued to fish the tournament. I finished the tournament and everything like that. Did not win the tournament by a long stretch, but I got to finish the tournament.
Did you get your lure back?
I did not. I did not get the lure back. And when I fell, I had my rod tip stuck into the bottom of that stump. And when I fell, the rod tip snapped. That's not good for a $100 rod. That's not good. But I will tell you this, okay? The winds were contrary. The winds were blowing. The boat was being battered. And it was cold outside. This is the example that we're given here. Now in that, in verse 25, notice what it says. And during the fourth watch, excuse me, it was the fourth watch, not the third watch. During the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. Now when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, do not be afraid." This is one of the greatest things we need to hear daily. Amen. Take courage, do not be afraid. Do not fear. For God is here. Do not fear, for I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Take courage. Do not be afraid. But Peter, and folks, I want y'all to know I love Peter. Because Peter reminds me of me. I have a tendency to open my mouth and stick my foot in it and say I'm going to do something, and then when I do it, I realize that that's not that great of an idea. Peter's also not very fast. Remember John outran him to the tomb? I'm not very fast either. My coaches used to say when they would time me around the track, they'd yell out at me and say, "Breedlove, we don't have a calendar." Yeah. But anyway, I ran. And notice this also, Peter was very outspoken. And he said, Lord, if it is you, Jesus, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now, what's interesting about this statement right here and about this little point that I'm going to bring up is that all the other apostles in the boat didn't think that was a very good idea. You didn't see them stepping out. You didn't see them coming to Jesus. But what you did see is them staying in the boat. Also, what you see here is something kind of interesting because I see James, John, Andrew, the four fishermen, the three fishermen, looking at Peter and saying, you better think twice about doing this. But what's Peter's response? I'm going to do it. And so what does he do? Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, Peter seen the wind. Remember, the waves were battering the boat. Peter seeing the wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. Now, what did Jesus just tell him? Do not be afraid. But when Peter sees the wind and the waves, he becomes frightened and begins to sink. Now, here's something that Peter did and did well. Peter cried out, saying, Lord, help me. Did he cry out to James and John back in the boat? No. He cries out to the one that can help him. He cries out to Jesus. Realize the difference between Peter and Judas. Both of them sinned against Jesus. Both of them denied Jesus. But Peter ran to the tomb, to the one that could forgive. Judas goes to the Sanhedrin, the ones who did not have the power to forgive. Judas asked for forgiveness to the ones who did not care. Peter asked for forgiveness for the one that could forgive. Realize the difference in the two. So what we have here is we have Peter doing the right thing by reaching out to Jesus. Reaching out to Jesus. He saw the wind and the waves, became frightened, began to sink, and cried out to Jesus. Is that a message for us today? You better believe it is. Because when we see the wind and the waves, who do we cry out to? Who should we cry out to? The ones back in the boat who can't save us? Or the one who has the power to forgive? That's who we should do. Now notice also in verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him and said to him, and notice these words, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now notice what Jesus said there. He didn't say, you of no faith, did he? Because didn't Peter have some faith? Sure. But his faith was small. Because his faith wasn't in Christ here. What happened was he became afraid. and began to sink. And notice those others in the boat also, Jesus wasn't speaking to them as them having little faith, because they just basically showed no faith at all. But Peter had at least some faith. Now his faith needed to grow, and does. But realize, Peter had some faith. So he says, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" And then notice in verse 32 and 33, when Jesus got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those that were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are truly God's Son." Now we know this story. Many of you have heard me talk about this story multiple times because it's one of my favorite stories. Peter is not someone that we can sit back and have bad feelings about because he had some faith. But his faith was lacking. But the response is, he cries out to the one who could save him, not the ones who were back in the boat. The ones who could save him, Jesus Christ, God the Father. Those are the ones who could save. Now in this story, I want you to think about it in a different perspective entirely. This is what my lesson is about today. What is it that Jesus did not do? I want you to think about this. What is it that Jesus does not do when Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking towards him? What does Jesus not do? I want you to look at it in this manner. John 16, 33. "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." You see, what Jesus did not do is Jesus did not stop the wind and the waves that were coming and beating upon Peter. He does not stop it. Notice this in this statement in John chapter 16, verse 33. "In this world, you will have trial and tribulation." It will happen. The wind will blow. The waves will hit. The rains will come down and the floods will come up. And the foolish man's house will do what? But the wise man's house will stand firm. It doesn't say the rains don't come down upon the wise man's house, does it? It doesn't say that the floods don't come up against the wise man's house, does it? But what it says is that the wise man's house will stand firm. And Jesus says it right here in John 16. He says, "Take courage." He said it in the story we just gave you. Be not afraid. Take courage. Because Jesus has overcome the world. Now in this, we need to realize in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that we are commanded as children of God to have faith in God. And the fact of that is this, that if we do not have faith, we cannot please God. It is impossible. Why would we need faith if there were no wind and no waves. If our lives were just filled with apple pie all the time, then why would we worry? What would concern us? Why would we need God? But realize we have an adversary, one who tries to pull us away from God, and that one will send the wind. That one will send the waves. You will have trial and tribulation on this earth. And so therefore, what we must do during that time of trial and tribulation is we must rest in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going today. Jesus did not stop the wind or the waves. He allowed those wind and that waves to come up against Peter. And as long as Peter kept his eye on Christ, he walked on water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, his focus changed. His focus was no longer on Christ, but his focus was on his trial and tribulation. His focus was on what was beating against him. His focus was not on God, was not on Christ, was not on heaven, but his focus was on the things of this earth. And so when his focus changed, he began to sink. But also when his focus changed, he became frightened. Folks, have you ever worried about where your next meal is going to come from? Have you ever worried about how you're going to pay this next bill? Have you ever been concerned about those types of things before? And some of us have never been to that extreme. But there are people in here who have. There are people who worried about what their jobs were going to be. There were people who were concerned about these things of this earth. But what does Jesus say? Take courage, for he has overcome the world. Realize that as long as we keep our focus on Christ, it does not matter how hard the wind blows. It doesn't matter how hard the rain falls. It does not matter upon how high the floods get. Because Christ has already overcome this world. Amen. Realize what this message today is about. This message is this. In this life, you will have wind. In this life, you will have rain. You will have waves. You will have floods. You will have trial, you will have tribulation. But as long as you keep your focus on Christ, you will always overcome the things of this world. My prayer for you today is this. When you leave this place, when you go out into the world, keep your focus on Christ. Nothing in this world will be able to stand against you. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity to come. Why don't you come now while together we stand and sing?